When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock with you here on the show. Coming up in just a bit, we'll take a look and preview the Toronto Blue Jays from a fantasy baseball perspective. We're getting ready to wind down. Opening day is coming up on Thursday. Lots to get to. Final Four discussion, of course. Some prospects have been told they've made major league rosters. We'll get into that. We got some fantasy reality. But Davis, we got some breaking news here right at the top of the show. Before we go any further, Lamar Jackson goes on social media about 5 minutes ago and tells everyone that he requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens back on March the 2nd. John Harbaugh right now, I'm seeing, is at the meetings, the GM meetings or owners meetings or whatever they are, and saying that he hasn't seen it, but expects Lamar to be back with the Ravens week one. What a place to start today here on the show.
Yeah, I mean, this story is really one of the most confusing, because I can't really remember the last time that a young, you know, let's say under 30 quarterback who's been very good. I mean, Lamar won the MVP in 2019. He was absolutely unbelievable. He has been injured the last two seasons, but I can't really recall a historical comparable to a team basically being like, all right, this guy who's been so good, Lamar is 40-15 as an NFL starter. Now, granted, they play in a very tough conference. They have not made any AFC conference championships, but really seems like no interest by the Baltimore Ravens to pay Lamar, honestly, even a market salary. Like, I think had the Baltimore Ravens said, you know, we'll give you Derek Carr's contract, you know, we'll fully guarantee it. My guess is that Lamar probably would have signed it, but it seems like they're not even wanting to do that, opting for the non-exclusive franchise tag. So just a very bizarre story. And a lot of this does have to be related to the fact that he doesn't have an agent.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, look, he should be empowered to do whatever he wants. And if he wants to be his own agent, so be it. But Davis, we saw that story over the weekend, too, about somebody that was claiming to represent him in some way. And I think this is just all adding up to me to that. It's just a very rare situation to not have an agent, to be this kind of player in sports, and to see this sort of transpiring the way that it is. I feel like that has to be part of the conversation in some way. You know, agents, they do a really good job usually of sort of filtering you out from the nonsense and the business aspect and going back and forth on the numbers. I mean, I assume that this is something that he's doing, but we really don't know. And the other thing, too, is that, and we'll have to figure out this, Davis, in the coming days, too, and then we'll get to our other headlines. But the specific thing I think that we need to know right now is why this took 25 days for him to mention, right? Like, I think that's the big part of this, because he could have easily done it back at the first week of March.
Well, I mean, honestly, I wonder if Lamar assumed that internally telling them yeah, I don't want to play here anymore, and they would look at their roster and they'd be like, ah, we got some good players, and do we really want to go into the season with Tyler Huntley or whoever as our quarterback? I think he probably assumed that would have put some pressure on them to get a deal done, and he's still not being offered what he wants, and it's just, I don't know, it's just very bizarre. And I think that one thing that's going on is other teams are not wanting to do the contract legwork for the Baltimore Ravens, where they give him the non-exclusive franchise tag, the
Right.
Commanders, the Falcons, whoever. They say, all right, this Lamar, this is what we'll pay you. And then they do all the tough contract work. And then the Ravens say, yeah, actually, we'll just go ahead. Let's do that with you. And it saves them a bunch of work, saves them a bunch of heartache. So that definitely is one aspect of what's going on here.
Yeah, and for me, I don't really feel like this is a Russell Wilson situation. I mean, to me, Lamar Jackson still has a lot of time, a lot left to play in the NFL at a very high level. All right, in case you missed it was the craziest Final Four of all time. I'm sorry, the craziest NCAA tournament, and maybe the craziest Final Four of all time. I have never seen an NCAA tournament like this, and if you say you have, you're absolutely lying. And that's where we'll begin with our headlines here on the show today. We have two teams from South Florida in the NCAA tournament. I mean, this is just bonkers. I mean, this is arguably one of the biggest accomplishments in South Florida sports history. Miami and Florida Atlantic are both in the Final Four. But how about this? San Diego State is also in the Final Four. Now, UConn's very good and could win this whole thing. They've played great from the end of the season to now. But they're all going to Houston. We'll see who wins the championship. LeBron James is back. He came off the bench. Lakers lost last night. Dallas loses again. Luka has another technical foul. Kyrie Irving wants people thrown out of the building. The Mavs season is a disaster. And congrats to Anthony Volpe. He's going to be on the opening day roster for the Yankees, and they're not having him there to sit. We'll get more into Volpe coming up in just a minute. I don't know what you want to tackle here, Davis, but we got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to go. It's a crazy time right now to be a fan of South Florida basketball. I mean, FAU, 40 minutes from me. University of Miami, 30 minutes from me. I'm right in the middle of it all. Everyone here is going bananas. I mean, there's a chance Miami plays FAU for the championship.
Which would be pretty exciting. I mean, the thing I just want to touch on very quickly is the Mavericks should be so embarrassed. The Mavericks are behind Oklahoma City in the standings, and they are behind the Utah Jazz in the standings. That they traded a first round pick to get this roster, and they can't even be better than the Oklahoma City Thunder, who aren't even trying, who aren't even playing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Back-to-backs, stop trading for Kyrie Irving. Whatever team is thinking about it this offseason, do not bring Kyrie Irving into the building. It's not gonna give you what you want.
Yeah, for sure. And boy, I just, I mean, what's there left to say about Kyrie Irving? What are the, it's like every team gets Kyrie Irving, and then we have this conversation. What are they going to do? What are the Mavericks going to do in the offseason with the same player? We're back here again. All right, coming up next, fantasy baseball is different this year. We got prospects in a big way to talk about that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. So, Davis, as we enter the fantasy baseball season, a lot of people had their draft and their waiver wire. There's some people are still going to wait. And why not, honestly, until Wednesday? Like, I've never understood that just about fantasy sports. For me, get as much. I know there are people that are like, oh, but I wouldn't have got this guy at such a good price earlier. I don't know. To me, it ain't worth it. I like to wait until to have my draft coming up the night before. But the one thing that has changed significantly are prospects, Davis. Prospects always are taken high in drafts, but never more so than now because of the new rules in the new collective bargaining agreement that state that if you win a rookie of the year with your player in the big leagues, you get a draft pick. And talk about, you know, cost-controlled labor, as we've talked about many times before, late first, second-round pick. You know, if any of these players win rookie of the year and you get that pick, that is far worth having the guy in the big leagues since the beginning of the season. So we're going to focus on a few players today. But that's sort of why you're seeing guys make the team from the beginning of the year.
Which, I mean, this is like my number one thing with baseball. Like, remember how annoying it was when the Royals wouldn't call up Bobby Witt Jr., why the Rays wouldn't call up Wander Franco. Like, that is, in no other sport are you incentivized to keep your best players not active. You know, it's just not the way it works anywhere else. So I absolutely love this. And the three guys that we're about to talk about are, they're all like super interesting, huge question marks.
Yeah, for sure. So let's start off with the news yesterday and great video by the Yankees posting it. Anthony Volpe has made the opening day team. He's going to start and play probably bat at the bottom of the lineup for the Yankees. He's their shortstop of the future. And he did nothing except for have a great spring for the Bombers. As you see, over 1,000 OPS, you know, performed at a very high level at every level in the minor leagues. The Yankees last 2 years, every team that wanted, you know, the Yankees wanted different players to win championships, Davis, the last 2 years with Frankie Montas and, you know, and everybody else. And the player that everybody always asked about was Anthony Volpe, but the Yankees refused to trade him. And now we're going to find out if that was worth it because he's going to get a chance to start opening day for the Yanks.
Yeah, I mean, his projections are absolutely insane. His Zips projection, 500 plate appearances, 16 home runs, 23 steals. Now, what you would worry about, because he is so young, you know, that he's only entering into his age 22 season. He only has, he's got less than 100 plate appearances at even AAA. Now, obviously, this experience in the spring, the Yankees probably saw, like, okay, you got to face real major league starting pitching, and you did well with it. But he probably is going to be a bit of a batting average sink, just in general. That's kind of what happens with younger players who are really toolsy, is they strike out a lot. And Volpe, I mean, he did strike out a fair amount. Last year, between AA and AAA, 118 strikeouts and 511 plate appearances. So he's not going to be like Wander Franco, where he's going to hit 300, but sort of the opposite of Wander Franco. You're getting 15 home runs, kind of minimum, probably way more steals than that, probably like 20, 25 steals, sort of depending on how much of the green light he has. He was really good at that in the minor league. So, I mean, a top 100 pick on Anthony Volpe. Because one thing you would have to assume also is if he plays very well, you know, well enough to not get sent down, he's probably going to move up the order, right? I mean, no reason he can't bat second.
Yeah. No, I think that's the key to his success. And you know, Davis, if he bats where Isaiah Kinda-Falefa did all last year, I mean, he's going to be better than him, but, you know, how much significantly better if you're batting eighth in any lineup in Major League Baseball? You're consistently getting one less at-bat every game, both in season-long and DFS. I mean, Volpe, I don't think Volpe's probably a player to play in DFS until he moves up in the lineup a little bit. So the St. Louis Cardinals also made their announcement. This was not a surprise to Jordan Walker had the best spring of anybody that I saw play in person. Every time the guy was at bat, he was getting a hit. He was hitting a home run. And if you take a look, what's really interesting, Dave, is the Cardinals are playing today in their final spring training game. And Walker has a pretty good lineup spot, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's hitting fifth or sixth. So this is a little bit of a different situation. He'll play right field for the Cardinals. They have a ton of guys who can get on base in front of them. And I think, Davis, what's really more interesting, too, is yes, they have Arenado. And yes, they have Goldschmidt. But between, like, Tommy Edman and Brendan Donovan and some others, there's a real chance that teams are going to have to pitch to this guy and see if he can do it, because there's really no hole in the Cardinals lineup. Davis, normally this is a team that they have, like, two good hitters, seven guys who are okay. This year, it's like 8 good hitters, and the pitchers are the ones that you're worried about going into the season. But for anybody who took Walker early in the draft season and got that good price, I guess that's the reason why you draft early, because you ain't getting that price now.
Yeah. So what I'm worried about with Walker is actually really what you just said, which is that if he is scuffling a little bit as a rookie, like, and he has honestly an even better hit tool than Volpe does. I mean, you know, he was well over a 300 batting average in the minors, over a 380 OBP in the minors, like, and not as much category upside probably. Like, he's probably more like 10 stolen bases instead of 20. And I mean, we are expecting him to hit a decent amount of home runs. He was a good home run hitter in the minors, not like 35 home runs a year in the minors. But Craig, what I'd be worried about is if he does scuffle a little bit, if it's a month in the season, you know, Jared Kelenic situation, right? Batting 190, striking out a ton, not providing the power. Even without sending him down, he could become a guy who plays 3 days a week, 2 days a week, becomes a platoon guy, because the Cardinals are so deep. I mean, you know, Jordan Walker is basically like their sixth best projected guy in their opening day lineup, but on their bench, you know, they have Nolan Gorman, Juan Yepez, who are Gorman and Yepez both would take some of those DH plate appearances away from him. That I'm more worried about losing playing time for Walker, honestly, than I am for the Yankees. Weirdly enough, you know, the Cardinals are probably the deepest offensive team in baseball.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned Yepez. How does this guy feel after what he did last year? They sent him down.
Right.
There's just no room for him, but that would be the guy very quickly if they were to make a change. I don't know how quick that would come, but I think Davis is right on that one, if that was the case. All right, the final player we saw play last year, boy, I was really impressed with this next player, so much so that I took him in my drafts. Gunnar Henderson. Orioles are good. Their lineup is really good. I feel like they're probably 1 year away, Davis, from when we're talking about the Yankees and the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. I feel like we're going to be talking about the Orioles in the very same way. They sort of are like, you know, kind of floating this year. It doesn't feel like they just went all in. I feel like that's going to have to happen soon, because they have more prospects that are in the big leagues at a high level than I think any team in baseball. Henderson did not have a great spring, but he's got a really good lineup spot, and he's got some bats behind him. He can run. He can field. The helmet flops off, and then the hair is flowing, Davis. I don't know. I think a big year for Gunnar Henderson is coming.
Yeah, this is my favorite of the three guys we've talked about. I mean, one, you know, there's just kind of that thing in fantasy baseball where when you've already seen a guy, the toy is not quite as shiny. So I don't think his ADP is like out of control in fantasy baseball leagues, but he just really looks like a very complete, honestly, five-tool player, like 260 batting average, well within the range of outcomes, 25 home runs, well within the range of outcomes, 10 to 15 steals, well within the range. Now, obviously, the counting stats are going to be, you know, the counting stats are going to be what is questionable, because we're going to have to figure out how good are the Baltimore Orioles. If the Baltimore Orioles are kind of as good as you're suggesting, the counting stats are going to be really good, the runs and the RBIs. If they scuffle a little bit, he will probably lag behind in those categories. But also, like, no risk of him getting sent to the minors, right? Like, no playing time risk with him, which is really strong, I think.
Yeah, and look, the Orioles, you know, it may have taken 3 or 4 years of losing a lot of games. But, and by the way, are they all the way back? I don't know if I could say that. I don't know if I could say they're better than Tampa Bay. But they could fight with Boston. I think they can fight with the Blue Jays a little bit. I mean, the Yankees, I think, have them beat. But, you know, once the Orioles get these pitchers up and maybe sign a free agent or two, I think they're going to be great for a long time. Very, very close, I think, are the Orioles. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. For those of you getting ready to have your drafts, Toronto Blue Jays previews next. Loaded offensive team. We'll go through who we like for the upcoming baseball season next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We're wrapping up our season team previews before opening day on Thursday. We have another one tomorrow. Today, we're going to take a look at the Toronto Blue Jays, a team that definitely made some moves, Davis, in the offseason to try and get better. They signed a starting pitcher that they added to the – actually, two starting pitchers to add to the rotation, and then made a very big decision that they really should have made, honestly, last year. But, I mean, I don't know what kind of difference it would have made in the end with their season and in the postseason. But they just needed to add a left-handed bat to that lineup. We talked about this all last year. They didn't do it. Hey, they traded Teoscar Hernandez. That's a really big name to let go of. And Dalton Varsho joins the team, and he's in the lineup this year. So as we dive in, that's really the key for them. It's just they needed to get better against, right-handed pitching, and maybe this helps them this year.
And they're still kind of brutal, even with Brandon Belt added in there, like looking at their lineup, looking at, okay, how do you perform against right-handed starting pitching? They still, I mean, yeah, Kevin Kiermaier's in there, so maybe that helps a little bit. Brandon Belt, I mean, I kind of liked a left-handed DH in Toronto better when his name was Rowdy Tellez instead of Brandon Belt. I mean, Brandon Belt is fine, but I've always kind of liked Tellez. Never really made sense to me why they let him go. And they don't really have a ton of left-handed power to come in off the bench either, which, I mean, it is sort of bizarre, Craig, because that feels like one of the easiest things for a good team to acquire is like a left-handed corner outfielder who, yeah, he's going to bat 237, but he'll give you 27 home runs. It feels like one of the easiest things to acquire once you've built a good baseball team. And for whatever reason, the Blue Jays just haven't really gone that way. And I mean, you're already going to know the favorite move they made for me is the addition of Dalton Varsho, who, I mean, I should have been prepared for this segment. I should have dug up all my Dalton Varsho rookie cards that I acquired when Sports Card Mania was at its peak, because I absolutely love this dude.
Yeah, and again, having catcher eligibility, when you take a look at the lineup here in the NFBC ADP, it is shocking to see Varsho so high in ADP, but there's a reason for that, and we'll get to that here in a second. So let's take a look at their starting lineup going into the year. Another year, George Springer, another year in the top 100. And by the way, George Springer going into the season, healthy. How about that? Going into 2023, completely healthy. That's big for him. Bo Bichette, one of the best players in all of baseball. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., one of the best players in all of baseball. They have two first-round picks. And then it gets a little dicey. Brandon Belt was added, comes from San Francisco to Toronto. They're hoping for the power from the left side. Alejandro Kirk now has nobody to worry about, and he's in the top 100 too. And you see Varsho's ADP there is 38. He's not going to play catcher this year, but he did play catcher last year, and that is why, folks, he's in the top 40, and he should be qualifying at that position. Matt Chapman, important year for him, I think. Has to be a little bit better than he was last year. His ADP is 153 with Merrifield at the back of the lineup. Probably his last chance to start there. And then Kevin Kiermaier, what they're basically doing here, Davis, is they're telling you, hey, look, we feel like 1 through 8, our lineup is so strong that we got to play good defense in center field. And nobody's better than Kiermaier in center field. And so this is just strictly, hey, our left fielder is eh, our right fielder is eh. And we know that some of these guys we're going to have are going to hit the ball hard in Toronto, in New York, in Boston. Let's make sure we get out. So Kiermaier is a non-draftable player, I think, in fantasy, but he's a defensive star. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, it gets very thin behind those guys. You know, Santiago Espinal, Kevon Biggio, Danny Jansen. It's not pretty. So whichever Blue Jay you draft, assuming that they are healthy, you are going to get the maximum amount of plate appearances from those guys. They are not going to be, you know, putting in Nathan Lukes into the lineup if they can help it. The ADP as being the absolute best here, I mean, it's got to be Matt Chapman. How many guys are you getting 30 home runs from who are past 150 in ADP? Now, much like drafting, I guess not anymore because he's so dust, but like a Joey Gallo, an Adam Dunn type in the past, he's going to absolutely tank your batting average. I mean, a 220 batting average for Matt Chapman would be pretty good. But you know, as long as you know you're building your team that way, I think that he's like, I mean, like this guy is a 36 home run season in his career. He's very good. So I really like Chapman. Varsho, I absolutely love. And I actually think Kirk maybe looks like the better value in terms of a Toronto Blue Jays catcher, though, because this is a guy with like really high prospect pedigree. His first full-time playing last year. The rare catcher who actually gives you some batting average, you know, a lot of the times with catchers, it's about what they do in the counting stats. But, you know, I mean, he hit 280 last year, and all his zips projects him having between 270 and 285. I think a reasonable season for him, 280 batting average, 22 home runs, something like that. And if he gets there, I mean, he's going to end up being like an absolutely massive. And again, actually, we were just talking about Gunnar Henderson. If everything sort of takes shape for the Toronto Blue Jays this year, and they're as good on offense as some of their past teams, you know, their 2019, 2020 teams, there could be huge counting stat upside for, I don't know, their top eight guys, really.
Yeah, and Belt, you know, optimally not batting cleanup, but, you know, having the left-handed right. bats in the lineup, maybe Varsho and Belt are swapped at some point. You know, we'll see as we get closer, obviously, to opening day there. Now, the starting pitching for the Blue Jays, that's been the problem for them over the last few years, honestly. They've had, like, usually one good pitcher, and this offseason, they're like, nah, enough of that. Let's get three or four good guys that can go. But I don't know. There's a lot of questions, at least in the community, Davis, about their pitching and whether or not it really is good enough to win games. So let's start off with Alek Manoah. He made his first career start, or made his first start last year, got destroyed, and then since then, probably the best pitcher in the American League, I would say, after that start. He was unbelievable, right in the Cy Young conversation. Kevin Gausman seems like they made the right move there, no question, by acquiring him. He's still a top 100 pitcher. Mets signed everybody this offseason in their own team, Davis, but they did not with Chris Bassitt. They let Chris Bassitt go for whatever reason. He is their three, and who knows how good he'll be. And then the big question is Jose Berríos. I don't know, Davis. He was so rough last year. His ADP has cratered and not even a top 200 pick anymore. And UC Kikuchi is their five. And Davis, this is going to be the question with the Blue Jays. Do they even have three guys that you really trust going into the season? Bassitt was really good for the Mets, but fantasy-wise, different skill set, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Bassitt doesn't generate any strikeouts. He's like one of the most extreme ground ball pitchers in baseball, which I guess probably the Blue Jays want. I would assume that internally inside their front office, they want to get as many ground ballers as they can because they play in that crazy division with all those bandbox ballparks. And I mean, and you know, Rogers Center also is a huge hitter's park. So as much as you can keep the ball on the ground, that's probably what they want. I don't really like taking Bassitt in fantasy, kind of the opposite of guys I tend to acquire. Berríos is fascinating because you're right, Craig. I mean, he stunk, and he didn't even stink for like an obvious reason. That's like the craziest thing about it is he stunk with 172 innings pitched. This isn't even a thing where you can be like, oh yeah, you know, his rotator cuff got busted. We learned later he pitched hurt all season. He had to have Tommy John. He had to, you know, whatever. Generally speaking, when a pitcher, you know, goes from being, I mean, he was absolutely unbelievable in 2021, 192 innings, 3.5 ERA, 200 strikeouts. Like, he was so good. And at that cost, though, at 233, I mean, how many starting pitchers are you even taking after pick 200 who you even anticipate to be on your roster for an entire year versus guys that you're churning through? If he reclaims, I mean, even half of what he was in 2021 in terms of the, if he can be 4 ERA, but, you know, 1.5 strikeouts per inning or 1.2 strikeouts per inning, get a bunch of wins because the Blue Jays offense ends up being good. Like, I don't know. It just feels like you got to take some Jose Berríos if you're doing these NFBC leagues.
It seems like their pitching separates them from maybe overtaking the Rays, the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Orioles, right? Like, that 3 through 5 is going to have to be the key. There is no love for Berríos at all in this fantasy draft season. It's like he's just sitting out there. Okay, I'll take him in the 18th round or whatever it is. Really interesting dynamic there. Now, the Blue Jays, Davis, they do have a closer. They're one of the few teams, maybe 10 teams in baseball. They've got Jordan Romano. You're paying a major price for him in fantasy. And by the way, 3 years ago, Jordan Romano as a closer did not exist. So he may be great, but not on my board. But, you know, when you hear the elite closer terms and the guys you're paying the most for, Romano is one of those guys this fantasy draft season.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, 2021, Jordan Romano was like a league winner. He was like basically undrafted. They had Merriweather was the other guy. Like, they had like three guys who were, you know, able to close for them because they had a closer injury in spring training. And Romano, you know, came out of nowhere. And his track record, it's kind of hard, you know, because relief pitching can be so different year over year. But the last 2 years for Jordan Romano, you know, 130 innings pitched, 2.1 ERA. like just an unbelievable amount of strikeouts. Like he's helping your ratios. He's adding up saves. He's on a team that you expect to win, you know, a reasonable number of games. So you're not worried about him getting like one save opportunity a week. And if he blows it, you're screwed. So I mean, Romano feels like a guy to me. I know, Fantasy Sports Today, we famously don't love to pay for closers. Romano probably would be the one I would pay for, though, because he just looks so locked in.
Yeah, no, he's been great since he's taken over. But again, is he a guy that after blowing three saves would still hold the job?
Right. You know,
that's always the question that I ask. And I don't think so. I think I'm not saying that he'll blow three in a row, but anybody that does, you have to ask yourself that question. Once the manager says it's no problem, two, they roll him out again. But after the third time, Davis, the question is, does the manager say, we'll move him in lower leverage spots? And a guy that they're willing to do that with is not the guy that you want in fantasy baseball, because the next guy comes in, saves all the games, and that's the end of your closer. So we'll see. But the Blue Jays definitely going to be a funny team and a fun team, I think, to watch this upcoming fantasy season. We got fantasy reality next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today, recapping our top story of the day. Davis, Lamar Jackson requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens back on March the 2nd. John Harbaugh, speaking at the meetings right now, is basically saying all the right things. Lamar Jackson, he's our guy. Very excited to have him for the first game of the season. I feel like we'll be doing this on Fantasy or Reality probably tomorrow anyway, but definitely worth just sort of resetting that story. And my guess is that if Lamar Jackson is going to get traded, it's going to happen either before or during the draft, right? Isn't that feel fair to say? Otherwise, that's it. I think that they got to get it figured out and he starts for them.
Well, if all the teams who want a quarterback in the draft get one, you know, if Carolina gets their dude, Houston gets their dude, Indianapolis gets their dude, and then you sort of they're sort of these mystery teams that could be in on Levis or on Anthony Richardson. Like, I think everyone sort of feels comfortable Stroud and Young are going one and two to in some variation to Houston and Carolina. And we'll see if Houston, you know, pays up something to ensure they get Bryce Young or whatever. But, the Seahawks could be in on Anthony Richardson. The Lions could be in on Anthony Richardson. There are a lot of different permutations. But once that happens and those guys are on a roster, they've done the jersey, they put the hat on, I think the number of spots, the number of teams who have the cap and the roster spot and everything to acquire Lamar Richardson goes down. Now, the other interesting thing, though, is that, you know, as a result of this non-exclusive franchise tag thing, you have to give up two first-round picks. Well, let's say you're the Indianapolis Colts, and you don't really want to give up the fourth pick, right? You'd rather keep that fourth pick. So let's say you take, you know, whatever the best tackle in the draft is at the fourth pick. You wait for the draft to be over, and then you use your 2024 and 2025 first round picks to acquire Lamar Jackson. Like that does. So it, I don't know. I hope it gets resolved soon, honestly, just for like fantasy football stuff, so that right, Everything's just kind of nice and bundled together and we know what we're doing when drafting starts. But I don't know. It feels, this to me feels real acrimonious. Do you remember Vincent Jackson holding out way back when with the San Diego Chargers? That's kind of the vibe I get here.
Yeah, I got to tell you, there's got to be somebody, Davis, sitting in that building in Cleveland thinking to themselves, oh my gosh, if we would have just waited a little while longer, right, we could have had Lamar Jackson at that price. And oh my gosh. But anyway, story for another day. Let's kick around some other questions. Here's some fantasy or reality. Sort of funny how last year went in the NFL, where before the season going in, many people thought Seattle would be the worst team in the NFL. Denver was going to make this huge jump, all as a result of the trade that was made last year, of course, with the Seahawks sending Russell Wilson to Denver and then Seattle having to start Geno Smith last year. But the more compelling thing that was interesting was that pretty much like 3 weeks into the season, it was evident that anybody who bet over on Seattle's win total was going to win, and everybody who bet under on Denver's win total was going to win. And that's really the way it played out. I mean, Seattle was a much better team last year than people thought. In fact, they hit their over faster than any other team in the NFL last year. But as the season went on, it also became more apparent that Seattle was not going to go very far. Now, here's the question going into this year, Davis, with Seattle kind of bringing back Bobby Wagner, trying to roll back some things again here. Looks like on paper they're pretty good, and maybe not as big as a surprise this year as last year. At least the numbers would indicate that too. Fantasy reality, the Seattle Seahawks will make the playoffs this season.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because historically, you know, let's say last 5 years or so, actually historically, the NFC West has been terrible. There was a time, what was it, about 11 years ago where a team with a losing record, the Seattle Seahawks with a losing record, won the division. But the 49ers have been pretty much great the entire time Kyle Shanahan has been there. The Rams were just a stone disaster last year, but they're, I mean, again, theoretically getting a lot of their healthy guys back. Stafford's going to be back under center. Cooper Kupp will be back. You know, like theoretically, they should be a little bit better. Now, the Cardinals are probably going to be quite bad. Although, you know, there is, you know, just kind of inside of me, I'm thinking like maybe Cliff, maybe this is like a Doug Peterson or not a Doug, well, a Doug Peterson, Urban Meyer situation where Cliff was so bad at his job that maybe the Cardinals can be a 7-win team instead of a 4-win team, just with some competent coaching. And then, I mean, you know, it's like 3 teams from the NFC East made the playoffs last year. Are the Packers going to try and win? Are the Bears going to get to 8 wins? It's pretty close. I definitely don't think they're going to win the division, but it'll kind of be, to me, it'll be like the Seahawks versus the 3rd place team in the NFC East and the 2nd place team in the NFC North to get that 6-7 spot. But I'm gonna believe in Geno. I'm gonna write Geno back, and I'm gonna say reality. I'm gonna say they actually do get in.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the other way here. Actually, I think that, you know, sometimes it just, like, you know, generically for me in sports, when a team overachieves in one season, it feels like they go back the other way the next year. And I kind of think that's where Seattle's at. And are they 1 game over 500? Are they 1 game under 500? It feels like that's just kind of their number. And if you look, if you remember last year, I believe their season win total was like 5 going into the year, 5.5. It was below Carolina. And now, obviously, with the season that they had last year, let's bump that thing up, 7.5 or 8. I don't know if they hit that. And I see some regression coming for that team. But I don't think it'll be a bad team. And again, you mentioned it, Arizona and their division, not very good. I still am not bought in on the Rams. I'm not really sure that they get back to where they were too. I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they miss the playoffs next year. All right, well, here's even the bigger question. Because we talk about Lamar Jackson requesting a trade. How much longer can Luka sit through what's going on in Dallas? And this is a Mark Cuban-owned team, a team that won a championship with Dirk and other players too. How can they not get this figured out? Well, they chose to trade for Kyrie Irving, and we just fully accepted that not only was Dallas going to be good, I mean, their odds to win the West were up there among some of the better teams in the NBA, but it has been a disaster since this has happened. Luka's playing out of his mind, still great, still one of the best players in the league, but they're falling apart, Davis. Several games under 500. They're going to need to win some games here in the next week or two, or that's it. Fantasy reality, the Dallas Mavericks will make the play-in tournament. Very questionable. Who would have thought that at this point with this talent?
Yeah, no, I don't think they are. So right now, they are 11th. They are tied in the loss column with the Utah Jazz. They are behind Oklahoma City. They're behind the Lakers. They're behind the New Orleans Pelicans, who haven't had Zion all year. You know, it's just an absolute mess. And I think the complicating factor for them here is so the first is that they have 4 games remaining against teams that are really trying. So that's a problem, right? Because now they do have a game against the Spurs left, and their next game is against the Pacers. So 2 teams that would frankly love to lose against the Dallas Mavericks and would probably be actively trying to lose those games. So give them 2 wins there. But the other issue is that they don't have any head-to-heads. They don't get to play the Pelicans. They don't get to play the Lakers. They don't get to play the Oklahoma City Thunder in the remaining bits of the season. And they don't have any of the tie breaks, which is super important, obviously, when we're talking about getting to the end here. I just think they stink. I think this trade was not well thought out. You know, they basically are playing the smallest lineup in the NBA. They're playing three guards. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith was basically their best defender. Actually, not even basically. He just was their best defender. They traded him away. They're playing like Reggie Bullock at power forward. Tim Hardaway Jr. is having to guard the other team's best opposing player. And look, no disrespect to Luka Doncic, Craig. This is a pro Luka Doncic show. We love him. He does not try on defense at all. I mean, he just could not be any less interested in using his size and his intelligence to be a good defender. And this was a dumb trade, and they're not going to make the play-in, and they're going to be stuck there with Kyrie Irving, you know, being an unrestricted free agent this offseason. And honestly, Greg, they should just let him walk. They should just be like, get out of our building. Like, sunk cost fallacy, doesn't matter. We sent a first-round pick. Please get out of our building.
Yeah, I got to say, I don't think they're going to make it. The vibes are awful right now in Dallas. And I got to tell you here at this point, wherever Kyrie goes, Davis, it just does not appear to work. Now, statistics-wise, if you go back and look at Kyrie Irving's history in terms of stats and what he's accomplished in the NBA, this guy's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is a Hall of Fame player. But the last few years have just been disastrous for him. And I got to say, for the Dallas Mavericks, you have a top five player. I don't know where you'd put Luka Davis. Maybe higher than the top five. Is he top two, top three? I don't know. He's up there. You have this kind of player, you got to get it figured out this offseason. They have one more chance. It is this offseason or nothing for Mark Cuban. And the Dallas Mavericks are never in a position where they're rebuilding. We haven't seen that ever since Cuban's taken over the team. So I got fantasy here. In the end, I got to say, maybe this finish for them is the best thing that could have happened, because it made it realize that Kyrie's not the answer and they got to go get somebody else. And the Mavericks have done a good job of that through the years. But why this has turned out like this, I got no idea. I don't follow it close enough to know. All right, finally, it was announced that Maroon 5 is picking up a residency in Las Vegas. And great news for people who are traveling out there. Great news for those of you who are betting in Las Vegas, because you get to go see Adam Levine, who said that he wants to be around his family and they're all going to go to Vegas. And this is where he's going to pick up his residency. We've seen a lot of great acts there through the years, have a lot of success. Mariah Carey, Madonna, Michael Jackson, many others. Fantasy or reality, you will go see Adam Levine in Las Vegas. Celine Dion, that's the other one. Celine Dion, not a huge fan, but she had maybe the most successful run in Vegas. Jennifer Lopez, too. And they're all coming to mind here. You'll go see this, Dave.
Yeah, no, this is not for me. I mean, this is like, this is not for people of, well, I don't know, maybe it is for people my age. Not a fan of Maroon 5. Don't particularly like Adam Levine. This is just sort of like corporate, pop hits, chart topping style music. That's all about the rhythm. It's just not for me. I mean, maybe a controversial opinion. I don't love Vegas that much, Craig, because I don't play table games. I don't like table games. I will play poker, obviously, because that's a game that you can win. But I'm such a EV hunter in general that I don't like playing the table games. So the big thing that most people love about Vegas isn't really for me. Like, Vegas is fun, but it's not somewhere I'm like trying to go on a vacation yearly or anything like that. So not huge on Vegas, definitely not big on Maroon 5. So I got fantasy.
You know what's interesting is that when I saw this today in our show, I was like, oh, this is something that I know is happening. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I don't know anything about this. I got to do the research. I mean, it's just natural. We're doing a show. There's some things that you don't know. But my wife the other day, Davis, she comes up to me and she says, you know, one of her friends invited her to go see Maroon 5 in Las Vegas. And I was like, okay, like, are you going to go? And she's like, nah, I'm not really that interested. I'm like, oh, okay. But it came up in conversation, like as if this could have possibly been a thing, because my wife, that's her like number one thing is concerts. Like wherever there's a concert, like my wife has bought tickets, Davis, for a concert without asking me or anyone else to go. And then literally like 2 days before, she's like, are you coming with me to this? I'm like, no. She's like, what do you mean? I bought tickets. I'm like, I'm not going to see this. I never agreed to this. She's like, well, you're going to have to go or else the tickets are just going to cost you the money. I'm like, what do you mean? You got to find somebody to go with these concert tickets where they're going out of pub. But anyway, yeah, fantasy for me. Not interested, but nothing against Maroon 5. Just not going to go to Vegas for something like this. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. We'll wrap it up at noon. Early Line is back with you at noon. I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern. Kim Meng, Marlins general manager on the show today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. A lot on this show today. Lamar Jackson requesting a trade. Big day for the Ravens, potentially, and even in the future. Let's turn it over to Davis, see what he's got for today's Sports Grid 60.
So this is an interesting little element here. We haven't talked much about the Brock Purdy-Trey Lance situation because there hasn't been new news on it, but John Lynch spoke to the media today and made it clear that Purdy, if/when healthy, he is the, quote, leader in the clubhouse to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers in 2023, which honestly, at this point, these teams that need a quarterback, just trade for Trey Lance. I mean, just send a second-round pick, a third-round pick for Trey Lance and just see what's there. Because I think it's sort of just become clear it's never going to happen for him in San Francisco. It's just too weird, the injuries, the animosity, the fact that Kyle Shanahan probably wanted to take Mac Jones instead of him initially. Like, it's just all bizarre. I just want to see Trey Lance actually play an NFL season. And maybe it'll never happen, but I just want to know what's inside the mystery box of Trey Lance.
For sure. You know, I think as we end the show today, I sort of feel bad for Lamar Jackson, and I do feel bad for the Ravens a little bit. As we alluded to earlier, I don't blame Lamar Jackson for wanting to be his own agent. And I don't even think it's about the 3% or the 5% or whatever the money is. He just wanted to handle his own stuff. But when you do that, you don't have an agent to shield you from some of this stuff. And all the acrimony and all the negativity goes right toward you, which is something agents usually are able to sort of shield out before it gets to the player. And there's no filter here. And I think that's probably what's causing a lot of this. And again, I don't blame Lamar for wanting to do it, transcending the game, wanting to do his own deal. I think in the end, this may ended up dooming this relationship to the fact that he's got to be involved in all of these ticky-tack things going back and forth constantly. Ugh, hate to see it. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Again, our wonderful producers, fantastic job. For Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. I'll see you back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire, and then we'll be right back here tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, for our next edition of Fantasy Sports Today. Have a great day, everyone.